The frontman of The Who, Roger Daltrey, told his fans in a concert in Las Vegas last month that he uses hearing aids on stage. And earlier this year, rock legend Eric Clapton told the BBC he's also losing his hearing.
You know, the only thing I'm concerned with now is being in my 70s and being able to be proficient. I mean, I'm going deaf, I've got tinnitus, my hands just about work. It's amazing to myself that I'm still here.
Sting, Ozzy Osbourne, and Pete Townsend have also said that they're losing their hearing after a long career in music. But as Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd reports, the problem is not confined to aging rockers.
It's a problem for classical musicians, too. The viola you're hearing is in the hands of Betty Hauk. She's playing a Bach cantata behind the vocals of the great Lorraine Hunt Lieberson. The recording was released in 2003, another high point in Betty's long career. She's performed at the White House for the Kennedys. She's played in a string quartet with Yo-Yo Ma. She's toured in the Middle East. But 7 years ago, at the age of 65, Betty just quit.
I completely turned my back on music. I didn't want to have anything to do with music whatsoever. If I couldn't play up to the level that I was used to, I wasn't going to do it.
Because Betty couldn't hear. She can't say for sure if it's her career in music that led to her moderate to severe hearing loss, but it's easy to make the connection. Researchers say decades of exposure to the sounds of an orchestra like this one can take their toll. According to one German study, professional musicians were nearly four times more likely to experience noise-induced hearing loss. Another found that nearly 60% of classical musicians have damaged hearing. For Betty, the loss was gradual.
And I hid the fact that I had hearing loss. I didn't want people to know because I felt it would affect my professional career, life.
Because your colleagues sitting next to you would think she needs her ears.
Yes, they think, oh, well, if she can't hear, maybe we shouldn't hire her as a musician anymore. I just didn't want people to know. I was like Beethoven. He also didn't want people to know when he started to lose his hearing. So at a rehearsal, I would wear my hearing aids at rehearsal so I could hear what, there was a conductor, so I could hear what he was saying, what my stand partner was saying. But I'd take them off for the concert because the music sounded much better without the hearing aids. Then it reached the point where I thought, you know, I really need to wear them during the concert, too.
And why? Because then the music started to sound wrong? You couldn't follow the music?
Well, I started to not be able to hear things, that they weren't loud enough. And also, if I play very high, a couple of times I was playing very high, I couldn't hear it. So I didn't know if I was playing in tune or not. And then one day I was playing a Bach cantata at Emmanuel Church in Boston, where I had played regularly. And I realized there was this passage, which is called a recitative, and it's closer to the spoken voice. And the conductor kind of stops conducting there sometimes, so you just have to hear the singer and follow her. I realized I didn't have a clue where she was. It was total guesswork. I had to tell from when other people's bows were moving. And it was torture. It was torture. I knew that I was struggling, and I thought, okay, that's it. I'm out of here.
You quit just right then.
I quit on the spot. I didn't want to put anyone, any of my colleagues, in the very awkward position of telling me that it was time to stop playing.
Leading up to that moment, what was your anxiety like? You must have seen this coming.
I did. My anxiety was very great.
Your career was on the line.
Yes. I played three more concerts, and they were all Bach. I played the Bach B minor Mass. I played a Bach cantata at Emmanuel, and I played some Bach at the Marlboro Bach Festival. And that was the last thing I played. And actually, a father of a student of mine was at the concert. He came up after the concert, and he came over to me, and he said, I understand this is your last concert. And this is where I get choked up. I was there with the other viola players, and he said, let's just take a moment to, let's just take a moment and think about that. And that's, I lost it. At that point, I lost it.
For the next 3 years, Betty silenced herself. She didn't play the viola, and she did not admit to herself the gravity of what had just happened. Not only was her career over, but the music that had sustained that career was gone too.
I had decided that I was going to treat my hearing loss as a neutral event. And it's kind of take a Buddhist approach and think it's neither good nor bad, but it's just something that's happened to me.
In those 3 years when you weren't playing, how were you feeling?
I was very depressed, and I was in denial about what a huge loss it had been.
It was not a neutral event.
It was not a neutral event. It was a huge loss, but first you have to grieve. That was what hit me. This is what I have not done. And I started grieving for the hearing loss because it was a huge loss. And as a result of that, I discovered the sweetness on the other side.
Here we go. Asa.
Sierra.
Today, her life sounds very different.
Charlie.
Awa.
Whiskey.
Apa.
Papa.
Aga.
Every few weeks, she travels to a Boston suburb for therapy with an auditory trainer named Jeff Plant. He's holding a screen over his face so that Betty can't see his lips move. She has to rely on her ears and her hearing aids to respond to Jeff's prompts.
Papa Tango.
Teach Peach.
Tango Papa.
Piatia.
Papa Tango.
Ta Pa.
Tango Papa.
How would you rank that?
That was harder.
This is one of the things that I think for most people with normal hearing, they don't have any perception of the fact that listening can be extremely hard work for someone with a hearing loss. So you can do it, but it requires enormous amounts of effort and concentration. And so to do this task for 2 minutes is really asking someone to push very, very hard.
Was it almost like a physical experience?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And my brain really feels challenged by something like that.
If you didn't have your hearing aids in right now, how would you do?
I would probably do terribly. I probably wouldn't get any of it.
And Betty has finally picked up her instruments again.
Bach? Well, you said that's one of your specialties.
That's one of the things I brought, yes.
Oh,
I also have some fiddle tunes. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay.
She started playing small concerts at churches and senior centers for people who could use her help. Tonight, she's in a living room with a few friends. They're drinking wine and eating cheese. They are not musicians, but they can relate.
You know, what I miss most is the Messiah.
A few years ago, Bob Broker fell off the third step of a ladder and hit his head. Nothing has sounded the same since.
At the holidays, I would sit and we have like a 6-record set of the Messiah, and I would sit in the living room and everyone would go to bed and I would listen to the Messiah and just turn flip records after another.
When you listen to the Messiah now, can you hear it or you can't hear anything?
Hardly anything. You shouldn't say of the Messiah, but it's like a rumbling train because the sound, instead of coming in through your ears, comes up through the throat, comes up through the larynx and inside and your skull. So it's a totally different sound, and I don't know that anybody has ever tried to create that sound, or if they could.
And that's one reason why hearing loss can be so isolating, whether you're a musician or not. It's hard to explain to other people. It takes away the things that you once enjoyed. The others in the room agree that losing their hearing profoundly changed the way they experience music. At times, it is physically uncomfortable, and any song with more than one instrument is nearly impossible to make out. So when they sit in front of Betty in a quiet room, as she plays a single viola, there is a chance they can hear her.
So you know that tune.
Anyway.
Yes.
Don't ask me why, but when I can hear her, you know, and it doesn't happen in other occasions, and so I know it can be done, and she's got the secret. God bless her.
It makes me so happy. I may be playing out of tune. I may not be at my peak of playing. I don't strive for that. And I love it when people tell me that they haven't been able to listen to music and enjoy it. And when they hear me play, they can. And that just gives me such joy.
And that is the sweetness on the other side of loss. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.